to some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
Dear Mr. Orton, stop hurting Kofi Kingston. Kofi is not stupid. Kofi is a good man, but you are a mean man, Mr. Orton. So mean that you make my hero Kofi Kingston cry at night. And do you want to know how I know this? Because Kofi Kingston isn't just my hero. Kofi Kingston is my daddy. Signed, Kai.
Hey, it's WWE superstar Kofi Kingston, and you're listening to The Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK, Rochester Sports Talk. Listen and feel the pain.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Morning, wrestling fans. Welcome to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man. I am joined today by Furby. It's just Furby and the Cash Man.
How's it going, folks? Good morning, wrestling fans.
Yeah, well, we're going to do a little non-wrestling talk to start the show because there was some huge news that came out this morning from One Bills Drive. If you are a fan of the Buffalo Bills, you might remember their starting running back the last 4 years was a certain guy by the name of LeSean McCoy. He was traded for by from the Philadelphia Eagles I think it was 2015 to start, or a couple games into 2015, or maybe it was the beginning of 2000.
It was in the beginning of the season. It was for, I believe it was Kiko Alonso, if I remember correctly.
Kiko Alonso, and today the Buffalo Bills cut LeSean McCoy. It was cut down day. Huge, huge, huge news for Buffalo Bills fans, for football fans in general. This man's available now, and it's like, they went 4-0 in the preseason, and this guy, I don't know how much he played in it, but he was active. What do you think?
Honestly, I think it probably for the Bills moving forward, it's probably the right move contract wise. I mean, you still owed a lot of money. You know, it looks like they got a lot of faith in Singletary. They got a cheap contract with Frank Gore. They'll split carries between Singletary and Frank Gore and try to run with that.
And they even had some surprises even some of the other guys in the running back position this preseason. So it was probably a tough decision. LeSean McCoy, I mean, he was the feature back. I mean, I don't know if his legal troubles came into play at all in any of this.
I mean, I don't know so much about that. I mean, I think that was pretty much all said and done, especially, over the course of the past year. I just don't know if his running style really fit the Bills anymore. I mean, if you look to his heyday, with the Eagles and even up through this past decade, I mean, I saw a stat that he had the most rushing yards, touchdowns, yards per carry over the past decade. Between his time in Philly and Buffalo. And, he's a guy who you want to get to the sideline. And if you don't got a line that can really hold that up, his agility and his quickness really doesn't mean much anymore.
And he was a McDermott guy. I mean, McDermott was 100% behind him. I mean, no one thought that this possibly was going to happen. It was a true surprise, even to Adam Schefter, who I think he knows everything, a day before everybody else knows. But man, it's just crazy, crazy news. I don't know. I mean, so you think they're going to go forward with Singletary and Gore then?
Yeah, for sure. They did extend the contract offer to Gore, obviously bring him in as a free agent. He's a veteran. He's still, he's still put up numbers the last few years. So might as well go with him, split some carries so you're not putting the front of the load on the rookie Singletary. But going forward, it really looks like they think Singletary is going to be their guy in the future.
Yeah, and McCoy last year, he started 13 games, played in 14, hit 514 yards with a 3.2 average, probably one of his lowest outputs of his career. It was the lowest numbers he put out his whole career. He was injured towards the end of the season, I remember. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, a lot of people were thinking, remember, Philadelphia was looking for a running back last year in the middle of the season.
Yeah, they almost made that swap. And me being an Eagles fan, I was actually happy that they didn't go back and get out LeSean McCoy. I mean, if you think of it too, running backs nowadays, the shelf life's about 6 years for a good starting running back. McCoy obviously exceeded those 6 years. I mean, so is Frank Gore, and he's been banged up with some injuries. So we'll see how this move turns out for the Bills, and I think we're going to see a lot of Singletary going forward.
I'll say he put up two really great seasons, 2016 and 17. And he was a team guy those years and everything, and didn't have legal troubles until going into last year. So the Buffalo Bills cut LeSean McCoy. What other big surprises are we going to see on cut day? I mean, there's some big names out there that are probably going to be floating free agents, and I'm sure McCoy is going to be grabbed by somebody who needs.
Oh, absolutely.
And you said the shelf life, 6 years, you know, with 6 year shelf life. But I mean, it seems like it's been a devalued position the past year or two.
Even with, you know, the years and age that we're at with McCoy, I mean, you're gonna find a team who will extend him an offer just to bring him in, see what he's got left, and see what happens. Especially with all injuries that happened during, you know, preseason, he'll at least get a shot and see what happens.
Yeah, I definitely don't think he's done. And like I said, going into the preseason, he was a McDermott guy. I mean, there was no ifs, ands, or buts about whether he was going to be on the team or not until this morning. So pretty crazy if you're just getting up right now and realizing it. LeSean McCoy's time in Buffalo is over. It ends in 2019 before week one, and hopefully he gets picked up by somebody. I'm sure somebody else is going to need a running back. There's a lot of teams out there. And I mean, even one of the best aspects of his is he was a great catching running back too. And so if you need a third down specialist, he definitely could come into a team and do that as well. So we'll see what happens.
And that's a huge value at that position nowadays. Everybody, I mean, you got to be dual winded out there, be able to catch the ball and be able to run with it after. I mean, it's such a huge, especially with the way the passing offense is now, and it's almost more important to be able to catch the ball out of the backfield than it is to run it.
Now, do you think that maybe this happened because, I mean, the Bills, are they confident with the running back guys they have already? And the second question is now with Beasley as their guy who's like their safety valve, you know, that's what McCoy was doing a lot, was playing safety valve. And now you have a guy who that's his distinct job, is to be out there and his hands up waiting on a 5 yard pass, turn it into a first down. Maybe this just a change in the offense is the reason maybe he's gone.
And I would agree with that 100%, honestly. And as a lot of my friends know, I think Cole Beasley's overrated. I think this whole move with him will help out Josh Allen, but everybody's saying, oh, he's going to get 90 catches, 1100 yards, 7 touchdowns, stuff like that. I think that's a joke personally. He'll definitely help out the offense. He's not going to turn into the best slot receiver in the NFL automatically just because he's moving from Dallas to Buffalo. I don't know how that works out. But, you know, getting rid of McCoy, that's going to open the offense. And like I said, I think Singletary is really going to get a big load in this offense now.
He's ran for 3,814 yards in his time with Buffalo. It's the sixth most in franchise history.
And that was with a McCoy not that great. And often injured.
Definitely. And, you know, and now he, and I mean, maybe because of all the time he hasn't spent on the field, he might have a good year or two in him left for somebody else. So we send our condolences to all the fans of McCoy, all the ones who bought the new jersey going into this season of LeSean McCoy, because those are now antiquated and collector's items. But we wish him best of luck wherever he lands. We're going to go to break, come back, and talk pro wrestling. But we will talk. If you guys want to talk about, you know, a certain guy leaving the team, you know, we definitely are into it. So you're listening to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. We'll be back right after this.
I have liberated Shinsuke Nakamura, and now thanks to me, he is feeling more free and stronger and better than he has in years. But I'll tell you what I find laughable, Miz. I think it's hilarious that you continue to talk about the Intercontinental Championship as if it's yours.
You see, I was relegated to a WrestleMania tag team match that I cared absolutely nothing about. Defending tag team titles that meant even less. Well, Becky Lynch got to main event WrestleMania against Ronda Rousey.
Stupid, 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 stupid. Oh, Kofi, do I have your attention? Good, because there's nothing I'd rather do than come out to that ring right now and show the entire world just how stupid you are.
This is Y2J Chris Jericho, the hero of the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with Furby. We were just talking in the first segment about LeSean McCoy getting the heave-ho from Buffalo. See ya, LeSean. We'll see ya wherever he may appear, and I'm sure he will, because I think he still can make a difference.
Already got some early predictions from some people saying that he's going back to Philly. I don't know about that, but we'll have to wait and see.
222-1280, star 1280 is the number if you want to call. You can talk about anything. You can talk about the Bills. But we got Mike from Rochester to start off. Mike, what's up, buddy?
How you doing, guys?
We are doing fantastic. How about you?
Not too bad. To talk about your first segment, my opinion is that the combination of Devin Singletary and Christian Wayne and Marcus Murphy playing so well, plus the fact that they saved $6 million, is probably the reason why they cut McCoy. So while I'm a little surprised, it's not that shocking when you really look at it.
No, you're right. You're right. I mean, and there was talks of it before the season. I mean, it was just rumors, but like McDermott always would say, he wants to be with his people. He wants to defend everybody. And even when McCoy was going through some legal troubles last year, McDermott was on his back. He had his back as well. So it's a kind of a big surprise. You know, it's like a quality back like this, but It, and I don't want to say it does make sense for some cheap owners, but it may have something to do, like Furby said, with $6 million owed as well. Yeah. So, you know, but, and these guys, you know, you can get a much cheaper rate and everything, you know, I mean, they spent a lot of money in the off season. So.
Exactly. Yeah, so. I think the Houston Texans make sense for him because with the injury to Lamar Miller, they really don't have a back besides Duke Johnson. So if he lands on his feet, I could see Houston being a possibility.
I actually agree with that there. I mean, that would be huge, especially since they did let Deontay Foreman go as well early in the preseason.
Right.
You're going to need someone to carry the ball eventually, so don't want to put everything on Deshaun Watson.
Right. Plus, he's a good outlet receiver, like you say, and since their offensive line's not the greatest, he's a good check-down guy.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah, and speaking of pro wrestling, today is a really big day because we got three shows going on today, and they're all going to be pretty awesome in their own way. So, I like with the New Japan show and the NXT UK and the AEW show tonight, so it's going to be a great night overall.
Yeah, actually, and if you're into MMA, apparently there was an MMA fight at 4 in the morning from China today, too.
Yes, we got our first Chinese world champion. She knocked out Jessica Andrade, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, really? I did not see the results from it, but I know that it happened when I was driving in. So, do tell, man. It was like, but still, yeah, this is a huge weekend. And you know, the best thing is that the pay-per-view for AEW is tonight. It's not Sunday night, so
yeah,
it gives your Sunday night free. And we do have a long weekend and everything. But our friend Vinny Paulino is going to be calling in from StarCast 3. He's been meeting everybody. He's been posting pictures with him and every single person. And we want to talk a little bit about the vibe going on down there when he calls in. But so let's talk about some wrestling because we're that's what we do. But we football definitely football will inject itself in if it must. So
absolutely. Did you by any chance get to see the AEW preview to the All Out show last night on TNT?
I did watch that. I was alerting people when it came on to turn on the TNT. Yeah, it was great. I mean,
yes.
What a great camera work. It was professionally done. JR was involved in it. I really liked what they did.
I want your opinion on this, Rich. Has there been a better promo ever done by a woman than Brandi Rose's promo to lead to the Cody Shawn Spears match?
Yeah, that was fantastic. Brandi Rose trained in WWE. That's where she met Cody. I think, you know, she's a hidden gem that never got a chance there.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. That was my thought exactly. It's like everybody talks about how they dropped the ball with Cody, which is true. But I actually think they dropped the ball worse with her because all she was, if I'm not mistaken, was a ring announcer.
Yeah, maybe. I think, I mean, she did wrestle. She did wrestle in NXT. She never got called up, and she, never, and then the only thing she got called up for was to announce, so.
Right. So, what do you think is going to, I would assume Chris Jericho's going to win the title tonight, but what's your opinion on that?
I think so, too. I think, you know what, you got a former WWE champion versus, I mean, listen, I love Adam Page. Don't get me wrong. Adam Page is the future, but I think that for this first giant show, you've got to put it on a guy who people know. You know, I'm not saying they don't know Adam Page, but there's a lot of people with their blinders on still that don't have a clue who this guy is.
Correct. And I also think that they did a little damage with the last show when they had him go 18 minutes with Kip Sabian. Not that it gets Kip, but he should have won that match more decisively. And I think that he's not ready to be world champion yet, so I actually agree with you on that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But, plus Jericho is the total package. I mean, he can cut the promos. He does all that stuff very, very well.
Yes, it's like one of the things that got WCW going in the Monday Night Wars back in 95 was that when you turned it on the first time, you saw the world champion was Hulk Hogan. So he was a recognizable big name, and obviously I'm not comparing Jericho to Hogan, but you're right, he is the biggest name they got. So having him being the world champion, having guys like Kenny and Jericho and Adam chase him is probably the way to go.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think there's no better way to open up your first show on TV with Chris Jericho being your world champion.
Correct.
I think it's the right move.
Correct. And what's the other question? Who do you think is going to be like the big surprise in the Women's Battle Royal? Because you know they're going to have something.
Well, you know, they've got a lot of people who aren't really signed to the company that are going to be involved in it. And I think, you know, not that that's a bad thing or anything, but I mean, you've got, you know, I remember Awesome Kong probably 6 years ago would have been like the odds-on favorite just because of the storm she started. That's a good question. There's a lot of people that are going to be involved. And I guess I'm hearing now that Tennille Dashwood might be added to it.
Interesting.
That would be fantastic.
Impact, I guess, is pushing to get Tennille added to it because they want to have a relationship, and they also want to get her out there, too, and they feel that this is a good way. So,
what about Tessa?
Yeah, Tessa Blanchard, yeah.
That would be the coup.
I think there's a lot of big names for women's wrestling in there, and this is on the pre-show, too.
Yes, exactly. That's why I think you try to get a lot of eyeballs right there.
Without a doubt. And I think it's on, what's it called, BR?
Bleacher Report Live.
Bleacher Report Live. And how much, I'm not sure how much it costs, but, I mean, if you
it should be free.
Oh, it's a free?
Well, the pre-show is free, yes. And I think it's like $50 for the pay-per-view. If I'm not mistaken.
So if that's how you get it tonight, folks.
They probably show the pre-show on YouTube as well. I'm not positive on that, but if I'm guessing, I think they do.
I will say that I was watching before the preview they had on TNT last night. They were showing Doctor Strange, and every commercial break had an AEW AEW commercial.
For
All Out, every commercial break. So for 3 hours that was on, every commercial break would have, you know, and just stick it right in your face. And they were showing the Sean Spears chair shot. You know, they kept using that over and over and over. So I think they're going to, hopefully they get a good turnout tonight. I'm hoping so. I mean, right now they're in Chicago. And I think there's a real big, I'll say mystery guy. I don't know if there's a mystery guy or not, but there's a guy there who's at StarCast today who I would love to see there tonight doing something.
Okay.
You know, and I just played his music coming out back from break. So you might, but he actually cut a promo in the ring. CM Punk, I'm talking about.
Yeah,
first.
I know. Yeah.
He actually cut a promo in the ring yesterday. I don't know if you saw the video or not, but he ran down in the ring and cut something, and it just.
I did not yet. No.
Okay, it's out there if you want to look for it.
Okay.
But it just gets you tingling a little bit because this guy, you know what this guy can do.
If Cult of Personality hits after Jericho wins the world title, that would be something.
I'm hoping. I mean, I know that he's friends with a lot of those guys, so
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, he's talked about the offers, you know, via text, you know. It's funny, if he replies to a text, he was saying that they, you know, that people come back and say that they have been talking. It's like, it's just a text, you know?
Exactly.
So who knows? But I mean, maybe Punk's just doing that to divert attention.
I don't think there's
it.
Any better way to get a huge pop in Chicago if that were to happen.
It would be massive.
Yeah, I mean, they're still getting CM Punk chants on SmackDown, you know, a place he never even wrestled, I think, you know, when they're there, or whenever there's show. Even Daniel Bryan, I don't know if you saw it or not, but Daniel Bryan was wrestling last week. Who is he wrestling?
Oh, he was wrestling Kofi Kingston.
Kofi Kingston.
Both at the GTS.
Yeah, they were, and the people were chanting. They were chanting CM Punk, and so they both did the. And in fact, Daniel Bryan did it twice.
Yes.
And then Kofi Kingston did it once, and it's like, right. And the people went nuts.
Absolutely. And what do you think about the NXT UK show with Walter and Tyler Bate? That's going to be an incredible match.
That is, and that's tonight, unfortunately, at the same time. You know?
Anything?
No,
Tyler,
it's at 2 o'clock.
Oh,
in the
that's
afternoon.
Right. That's right. It's in the afternoon. JB just had put a post about it on Twitter. So
anything
yeah, you're right.
Tyler Bate does is usually magic. I mean, yeah. I think he's had just about every great match in NXT UK. Obviously, along with you know, Pete Dunne and Walter mm-hmm. and. I mean, I still love the match that Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate had in Chicago, I think in May 2 years ago.
Yeah, it was like 2 years ago. Yeah, it was fantastic. And, I know what you want to talk about.
It's probably one of the best matches NXT's had. You know, obviously they always put out great matches, but mm-hmm. I'm excited actually for the UK show. I believe they got Rhea Ripley and
Piper Niven,
yeah, absolutely. We'll get to see them square off. And going back on Rhea Ripley, she obviously made her NXT debut, I believe, this past week.
Yes, she did.
And she's challenging Shayna Baszler now. So that'll be exciting to see because I think both of them will do great work.
And like we did get that title change, too, by the way, this past week. The tag titles, right?
Yes. Yeah. We're two-thirds of the way, Rich. My proclamation's going to happen.
All right. we got to run, buddy. Thank
Absolutely.
You so much for calling,
guys,
Mike.
You guys enjoy the weekend.
All right. Now, the Big Cheese from WHTK is going to be joining us right now from the Carl Falk Show. You might know him as the host, Carl Falk. Carl Falk is on the air with us right now. I'll talk a little bit of LaShawn McCoy. Carl, how you doing, buddy?
Big cheese, Rich?
Big Rich. Cheese.
Rich, I'm just a working man like you. Come on now.
you know, it's funny. When I walk up here on Saturday and I see Bob Lonsberry, I'm like hitting myself in the head because what's going on up here? LaShawn McCoy gets cut? That's crazy.
Yeah, it isn't that crazy, really. It's actually, in my opinion, the right move for the Buffalo Bills. They've been saying, though, all summer long that LaShawn McCoy is going to be their starting running back. His salary, which salary and bonus, he would have counted about $8.5, almost $9 million against the cap for this year, is one of the highest running back salaries in the league. The guy averaged 3.2 yards per carry last year, just over 500 yards. Production didn't meet the dollars. McCoy isn't a guy that I would think meets the culture that Sean McDermott finds so important. So I think this is the right move. You draft Devin Singletary. You sign Frank Gore, who's basically the same type of back, veteran, at the end of his career. He only counts $2 million against the cap. I know the Bills aren't in cap jail, but I thought this was a smart move.
You know, we were discussing a little bit about, you know, McCoy's value still. And I mean, do you think he'll get picked up on the open market now that he's a free guy?
Well, I don't think he will until he goes through the waiver process and clears the waiver process. I can't see another team picking him up at his current value. But once that happens, once he is outside of that contract, I absolutely think he'll get picked up. You look at a team like Houston, where they had a devastating injury to their starting running back, Lamar Miller, done for the year with an ACL. That makes some sense. I'll throw this at you, too. With Melvin Gordon's holdout, the Chargers have Austin Eckler. Their coach is the former running backs coach in Buffalo. So there's some familiarity there. I wouldn't be shocked to see Shady go out west.
That's an interesting thought there, especially going to the Chargers with Gordon holding out. I'm not sure if that'll exactly happen. The Chargers love Eckler, and plus they got Justin Jackson, too, who will get a lot of carries at the goal line for them. I think they have high hopes in those two. I mean, it would definitely be interesting, obviously, with the former running back coach there, what kind of connection they might think. But And just like you said, I don't know if he's going to go out west. Houston, I think, is probably the number one landing spot.
By the way, Carl, this is Furby. He's a new guy in the Pain Clinic, and he also does some work for the Red Wings and stuff. So he's he definitely is deep in. He's so such a deep sports fan. He went to the U.S. Open this past week, and then went and caught a couple Mets games after that.
Ah, nice. Well done. Now, they were pretty exciting Mets games. You know, you knew they were going to lose eventually, and. Well, why not have a 6-game losing streak at the end of August?
That was right. You know, why not lose while I'm there and then go to Philly and score 11 runs?
The question is, why are all the Mets fans attracted to this place? Okay, I don't get it. But I want to say that McDermott was behind McCoy. McCoy was a McDermott guy. You know, and it's like, and that's why we all thought going into the offseason that he was safe. He was going to be the guy. I mean, he stood behind him when he had legal troubles last year. He's been behind him the whole time. And then now all of a sudden, it seems like it's out of the blue. Like Adam Schefter says it's out of the blue. But I mean, people a little bit more intimate with the team probably don't think as much, like you said when you first started with us.
Yeah, I don't think this is out of the blue at all. As a matter of fact, this is something I've been saying that should happen since, at the end of last year. I was surprised it took this long for it to happen. The money doesn't equal the production. And I don't care if you're in salary cap jail or not, you don't spend money you don't need to spend. And with Devin Singletary showing what he showed in the preseason, I think that was the ultimate change of heart that the Bills brass had. You look at that running back room now with Singletary. By the end of the year, he'll likely be the starter. I'm sure Gore will always be the starter, but the guy who's going to get the bulk of the carries is likely to be Devin Singletary. Gore giving you the veteran presence. T.J. Yeldon, the guy that came over from Jacksonville. For most of the camp, it didn't look like he was going to be there, but now an injury to Sonoris Perry at the end of camp, and today the Bills cut Marcus Murphy, another special teams player who was also a running back. Looks like T.J. Yeldon's going to be on the squad as well. And I would think if Perry's going to miss time, they'll go pick somebody up.
I kind of made a point earlier that since they've gotten Beasley, that's kind of McCoy's position. He was kind of like the out guy in case they couldn't get anybody deep. And now you got Beasley out there, sitting out there 5 yards out and, you know, with great hands. So, I mean, that might have made McCoy more expendable as well.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I think more than anything, this has to do with money and production. And if you watch the Bills last year, look, Josh Allen was their leading rusher. Can't have that. You can't be a playoff team and have your quarterback being the leading rusher. Shady's a guy who, behind an average offensive line, is going to struggle because he's that patient running back, kind of like a Le'Veon Bell, wait for something to break and hit the hole, make somebody miss. Well, when you get to be 31 years old, the ability to make somebody miss isn't there anymore. And I think this is the beginning of the end for Shady. But he'll hook on. He'll get another chance. And he's going to try to get to the 12,000-yard mark. And hopefully, if he gets there, he'll become a Hall of Famer at some point.
And I agree with your point there, actually, about Shady being a patient runner. And, you know, as he's aging, things are going to get a little bit more difficult for him. I agree. I've been an Eagles fan all my life, so knowing the style runner that he is, he's a guy who wants to be able to get to the edge and definitely be able to get to the corner. And if you can't get there behind a mediocre line, you know, you're just going to continue to struggle. And I think that's what made him a little bit more expendable to the Bills, especially with being paid the $6 million, I think, you know, going with Singletary, Gore, and Yeldon, which was an interesting name that I had forgotten about, is the right path for the Bills. I mean, you're going to get similar, production from Yeldon out of the backfield as far as catching balls that you may get from McCoy, along with, you know, a more veteran bruiser and Gore, and then the young guy Singletary, who is definitely going to end up being the starter probably towards the end of the year, if not, you know, obviously in the beginning of the year next year going forward, because that's the guy they picked, that's the guy they wanted, and, you know, he is the future.
Yeah, they spent a third-round pick on him. They obviously like him, and frankly, his style is somewhat like Shady McCoy. He's got that elusiveness. He's got the ability if you can get him in space. But during camp, saw a lot of him between the tackles, too. So, you know, it's not always that far of a stretch to see a young kid come into the league as a running back and make an impact right away. You know, I'm not comparing him to Philip Lindsay, but last year at this time, nobody knew who that kid was in Denver. And right. then he goes out and has a Pro Bowl season.
And some of these defenses, I mean, obviously they're pro athletes and pro football players, but it does take them some time to get accustomed to the new style of running, the new style of runners. And then when you don't see a guy, you know, other than just videotape, it's a lot different than seeing him on the actual field. So if he brings in a different set of skills and different set of tools that some of these guys aren't seeing, you know, it is different. And, you know, that may be why these younger runners are having a stronger impact right from the get-go. But it'll definitely be something interesting to see what Singletary does for the Bills.
Yeah, I think he's got a chance to be a pretty good player based on what we've seen so far. You never know. The biggest thing for the Bills is that offensive line needs to be better. We haven't seen that offensive line look the way it's going to look because Mitch Morse hasn't played in the preseason, but he'll be good to go week one. And if that's the case and they're better, then whether it's Gore, Singletary, or Yeldon, the backs have a much better chance of succeeding.
So, for sure.
So, Carl, McCoy leaves Buffalo with coming here, putting up 3,814 yards, sixth most in franchise history. How could we summarize his time with the Bills?
He's a good player. He was their best player for probably three of the 4 years he played in Buffalo. He helped break the drought, got to help them get to the playoffs. That was a run-first team that year, and he was very good that year. So I think McCoy was a success. I know when Philly traded for him, the Bills re-upped him and gave him a bunch of money. And there were people thinking, man, that was crazy to pay him. He'll never see the end of that deal. Well, he didn't see the end of that deal, but he played long enough that that deal ended up being a good deal. The cap hit for his release is just about $2 million. So that was a good deal, and I think Shady was a very good player for his time in Buffalo.
Very cool. I will say he needs 1,394 yards to break that 12,000. Good luck to him. Thank you so much for coming on, Carl, and talking about it. I'm sure you'll be on Monday talking about it. We missed you yesterday. Heard Pauly Googs in here.
It's Pauly like was in yesterday. Dan Fates is in for me Monday. Monday's Labor Day, dude.
That's right.
I'm prima donna. I don't work holidays.
That's right. That's right. But Tuesday, you'll kick off with it. That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, man, it's nice talking to you, brother. I haven't seen you in a long time.
Yeah, you too, Rich and Furby. It's nice to talk to you. I appreciate you guys giving me some time. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk soon, okay?
Thank you, sir.
My pleasure, brother.
All right. We got to go to break on that. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Fox. We're going to back to wrestling, I promise, soon. Fox Sports 1280.
I see many legends have worn this crown before. Kurt Angle, Brock Lesnar, Edge, they've all interrupted me, but none of them can wear this crown like me. I mean, you've got to admit, this is a sight to see. The crown, the scepter, the guitar by my side. I mean, do you realize this is a king you can believe in? Now, who am I kidding? I'm in Louisiana trying to reason with a bunch of filthy swamp people.
This is the Stinger. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK. It's showtime, folks.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man. Furby's with you. It's just us today. Having an exciting show so far. It's crazy exciting with LeSean McCoy getting cut by the Buffalo Bills. And he said Murphy did too. And Murphy was featured in that last game, that fourth game, which was, I'm not a big fan of the preseason, but that was exciting. That second half, they were down by a ton, came back and won that game. It was the guys fighting for a job.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was probably Murphy's last audition there for him. You know, he gets cut. He might find his way back to the practice squad unless someone else picks him up. And, you know, he'll probably go out and be somewhere on someone's special teams or, you know, do something. He'll find a job.
Practice squad, maybe coming in as a running back for somebody. On the phone with us right now, Vinny Paulino, the funniest guy in Rochester. He's at StarCast 3. In Chicago, waiting to meet the elusive CM Punk and get pictures and whatnot. Hey, how's it going, Vinny?
I'm doing better than LeSean McCoy. How are you guys?
Yeah, we're doing good. So, man, you've been there for a couple days now. StarCast was kind of like a two-day event, right?
It's actually 4 days this year, Thursday through Sunday. And tonight is all out, man.
Tonight is all out. That's going. I'm sure you'll have a great seat for that, right?
Oh, man, I'm a hard camera side. Look for the fat white guy in the track jacket.
I've been loving, you've been down there, everybody, the who's who in the world of pro wrestling has been signing and showing up, and you've been posting some incredible pictures. I'm loving just all, I mean, the Stinger there, that's what influenced me to play that, because you got to meet Sting, got a bat signed. So what's it been like this weekend? What's the temperature of the room down there? Are these people like insanely mad for their wrestling and they cannot wait for tonight?
Let me tell you something, man. AEW fever is very much alive. This whole thing's been very centered around AEW, and there's been a lot of classic guys running around Greg the Hammer. I was hanging out with the Hammer yesterday. I'm sorry, I'm in line and people are telling me to move around. Forgive me.
Okay, that's okay. You're in line. I understand if you have to drop out or whatever. Okay,
yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, so it's just been amazing. Like every time you turn around, like there's DDP hanging out. Oh, there's Shivani hanging out. It's an awesome experience, and the AEW talent are so generous and cool to the fans. It's like an amazing thing to be here, especially, you know, this time for that company, you know, just coming out of the gate, and they're coming out swinging. So it's a lot of fun to be here and be a part of it.
Now, you got to meet, not even the guys from AEW, but Mongo McMichaels is there, the King, and Jerry Lawler.
Cashman, next time I see you, I'm gonna have to tell you off air the conversation I had with Mongo McMichael. That guy is scaring me a little bit these days.
I can imagine. The last time he was actually in Rochester a couple of years ago, he was coaching an indoor football team that played a game at Salem Stadium. I don't know what the stadium is here in town called anymore. I know it's the empty.
They let him hang out with kids?
The empty stadium. It was the empty stadium here. They had an indoor game outdoors. So, you know, and Mongo's team was from Chicago, came in, he was the coach. So, yeah, I don't know. I tried to get him on the air over and over, but I was kind of scared, you know, just because it's Mongo, you know. But I will say,
he was sitting next to his booth yesterday was sitting next to, what's her name, Zelina De La Renta from MLW.
Yep.
And, like, Mongo, man, you should put a bucket under that table for the drool coming out of that guy's mouth.
Oh, no. But you got to see some guys, maybe, like Tully Blanchard, who's kind of inserted himself into what's going on in AEW. Gotta love meeting him. He was such a, when I was a kid, he was him and Arn Anderson, the Brain Busters, were just an incredible tag team. And now he's taking a part in mentoring Sean Spears there with AEW. It's exciting.
I'm going to put Tully Blanchard on my top five list of people I was ever super excited to meet. That guy is so incredible. And he's been I've been such a fan of the Brain Busters, him and Arn. I was a WCW guy. I don't know if I ever told you that.
Me too. I was too as well. I mean, you know, you have to be, I guess, you know, one or the other, but it was a great.
Hey, Jimmy Hart just walked in, by the way. That's fun.
Oh, does he have a megaphone in his hand?
No, but he's wearing a sexier velvet blazer than I got.
Oh.
I can't even believe it.
Oh my gosh! Surprised Hogan's not following him. He seems to be his handler at times. So some prizes. Kenny Omega's kind of a surprise being there. I mean, don't you think? I mean, there was talk for a while he wasn't going to be, and now he does show up.
Well, are we talking about for All Out or an AEW in general?
Yeah, I mean, we know he's one of the execs in AEW, but I mean, I don't think but also being there for the StarCast as well.
Oh, yeah, he just showed up out of nowhere. No one was really expecting to see him here. The Bucks did a really cool live show Thursday night, kind of opening the whole thing up, and they had him, Cody, Hangman, and, like, out of nowhere, there comes Omega just coming on out. It was great. It was super cool.
They had a great special on TNT last night promoting the pay-per-view for tonight, which was really cool. It was an hour-long show. It also introduced you to AEW. And that, which is, we're talking very short time before this starts. I mean, listen, it'll be September by the end of this weekend.
It's a month away from the TV debuting, and that's incredible to me. This company's so fascinating to me because of the fact that they let their guys, till the beginning of October, wrestle around the country and do whatever. And it's kind of hurt them, like with Moxley, you know, being out because he got hurt with the elbow. But it's just it's such a weird culture around this. It's like the indies, but I feel like AEW feels like what NXT wishes it could be. It's weird over here. It's weird, Cash, man. It's amazing.
I love the feel that they get. I mean, I love the Bucks, and it's like everywhere the Bucks go, they have this vibe following them. And I think, you know, when this big announcement was made, it was, you know, and I know people like Jim Cornette can't stand the Bucks. We know this, all the stories between those two and everything. But I will say that the wrestling world is now focused on Chicago this weekend. What do you think about the pay-per-view? You're going to be seeing a guy in line you're waiting for that we're hoping is going to pull kind of a surprise. Now, is it assuming too much, or do you think there's an actual chance that this dude might come out and be like the first challenger after Jericho wins that title tonight?
Oh, don't assume Jericho's going to win it. Stop it.
The reason we are is because you got to start a network television show with a guy who that people might recognize. You know, I love Adam Page. Don't get me wrong.
On the Hangman.
Don't get me wrong. I love Adam Page. Okay.
I got to hang up in a second, but I'm going to throw one thought out to you before I go because I love you, man. But here's my thought here with CM Punk. I don't know if we see him tonight. But I will tell you this: if I'm Tony Khan and I own AEW, I would give that guy anything in the world that he wants for at least a year. I just like, just come and help us for a year to get off the ground. Because if you put him on television on Wednesday nights on TNT, you're going to win. So I think Punk's got a lot of power here, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. And I got to keep my mouth shut because I'm actually looking at him.
Okay, well, you go and meet Punk. Tell him we send our best to him. And if you do see Mookie, tell him we said hi too. Remember, I told you about Mookie.
100%. 100%. Thanks for having me on, guys. By the way, real quick,
yeah,
let me plug this for the Carlson. Ron Funches is next weekend.
Oh, Mr. Wrestling himself, Ron Funches.
Mr. Wrestling, he was here last night, did a show, killed it, destroyed the place. And then also, September 27th, JR himself is going to be at the Carlson. So get your tickets now.
September 27th, JR is going to be in town here for the Carlson. It's a Friday night, right?
I think it's a Sunday evening.
Oh, is it Sunday?
It's after the games.
Gotcha.
It's Sunday night after the games, so it's going to be pretty cool.
I'm so there, bro.
100%. I'll make sure you have a nice seat.
All right, beautiful, brother. Thank you. Enjoy yourself, and we'll be looking for you when we're watching the pay-per-view tonight. When you do your run into the ring, right?
No, probably lots of runs of the beer stand in the bathroom, but to the ring.
They probably won't let you in with that bat with the Sting autograph on it anyways, you know?
You'd be surprised where you could get in with that.
Thank you very much, Vinny Paulino. Funniest man in Rochester, in Chicago AEW. Thank you, sir.
All right, thanks, Cashman.
All right, 222-1280, *1280. Thank you so much, Vinny, for letting us talk to you while you're standing in line for Punk. We're going to go to break on that, come back, and we've got one segment left. We're going to do some news, which I haven't been able to print, which I'm really kind of bummed. I will read it, and poor Furby's going to have to react to what the biggest news. But we'll be back after this on Fox Sports 1280.
All right, this is The Undertaker, and now you're listening to The Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
Welcome back to The Pain Clinic. Seth Rollins music. Seth Rollins still tag champ, still heavyweight champ. Didn't really talk much about WWE at all in this show. Sorry if you're a WWE, you can get your blinders on. You know, I mean, but we do have some news I'm going to go through real quick, and I am going to mention something from WWE because this is part of the news. We've got eight men left for the King of the Ring tournament. We're going to get Joe versus Ricochet, Alexander versus Corbin on Raw, and we've got Elias versus Ali and Gable versus Andrade. Now, who's going to win this whole thing? We've kind of changed. A lot of people wanted to see Drew McIntyre win it, and unfortunately,
that's the last person I want to see win. Honestly,
well,
Drew
he
McIntyre,
lost. You know,
he's a big dude, but honestly, what has he really done since he's come back? Nothing, because he's really not that good. Honestly, one match I'm really looking forward to see, and I hope this happens, Ali versus Andrade. Two great workers in the ring.
Oh, definitely.
You know, I think it's Andrade's time. I hope they push him.
Well, I'm thinking Joe might be the guy to come out of the Raw brackets. Joe, Ricochet. I mean, Ricochet's getting a huge push, but he's already a title holder. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how much, you know, I mean, King of the Ring, but you know, with Joe, Ricochet, Cedric Alexander or Corbin. And, I mean, Corbin was a surprise win over The Miz to me this past week. So
yeah, I think Corbin's a guy who's been on TV a little bit too long. But, they're I mean, trying to push him as one of your major heels, you know, I think that's going to happen. You know, I'm glad they finally got him out of that stupid vest.
Yeah.
It's about time. I mean, how long has he not been the constable anymore?
Yeah, it's been a while. At least he's bald now, and he's loving it. So some other news. I don't know if you guys saw the new Fox promo that they launched during the football game the other night. It was called We Are All Superstars, and it has, like, Steve Austin, The Rock, Undertaker, John Cena. But the thing that I most stood out to me the most was they did a nod to Buffalo Bills tailgaters and Buffalo Bills Mafia. They had a guy jump off a car through a table full of full of cups.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and it was like from a parking lot.
I saw something pop up where Batista actually wasn't too happy with the
because he felt that he's more SmackDown than a lot of these guys. You know, yeah. Because he was there most of his career.
Yeah, he was like one of their main workers him, Edge, Taker. Those are the three main guys that I think of when I think SmackDown, you know, in the 2000s.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know if I absolutely agree with him. He seems to be unhappy with everything WWE's been doing lately anyways.
That's Dave Bautista.
He goes, why wasn't I invited to these big events, you know? It's like, well...
And one thing that I actually thought was funny, and I don't know why I thought of this now, but when they did the 1000th show for SmackDown and they brought the Evolution back... On SmackDown? When were they ever on SmackDown?
True. They weren't. Yeah, definitely. So that's funny. I think it was just to build up an angle off of that. So
oh, for sure. And it worked. And we got a WrestleMania match out of it.
Some other news. Jon Moxley, he was forced to not appear this weekend at StarCast because of the surgery he had. And so they decided to replace his time for the autograph session with Jim Ross and Tony Schiavone doing a look back at the Turner years of WCW, which is actually pretty cool. I mean, that you know, there's some... Those guys probably could talk for hours and hours and hours about that stuff. I mean, we've had JR on this show so many times, and it's like he just saw so much stuff he loved to talk about.
And with Moxley being hurt, I don't think it hurts anything, honestly. I think we could get a great match with Pac and Omega, but I think... The Moxley injury can actually build to the storyline here and build up to a even better match between Omega and Moxley now and down the road.
I agree. And, you know, and that's what we were thinking. We talked a little bit about last week, too, is that it does give more time to build up, which is good. And, you know, I mean, they got to do something on TV, right?
Sure,
when
for
TV
sure.
starts, they can't
and,
just...
It builds a storyline now, and what a better way to get Pac into AEW now.
Some other news. Total Divas is going to be back on USA. Or no, was it on USA? I can't remember. I think it was
I believe so.
Yeah.
That or E.
It was E. That's right. It was E. But this next season is going to have Ronda Rousey on it. So it must have been recorded last year. It will be debuting. That's right. It's on E Wednesdays, October 2nd. It's the first show. Look at that. Another Wednesday, huh?
There you go. Just keep throwing it in there. Speaking of Wednesdays, actually, I just saw this and wanted to make homage to it, especially since the NXT UK. Show is today at 2 p.m. NXT UK Cardiff. Looks like they're going to start blending a lot more of the UK stuff into NXT, which with them hitting USA on September 18th, that's huge. Especially, you know, Rhea Ripley just made her NXT debut on Wednesday. You know, we're seeing Pete Dunne be more incorporated in that. Hopefully Tyler Bate makes his way over there. Don't want to see him lose tonight, but that would be fantastic to see him over on NXT more.
Yeah, exactly. And we also had the tag changes this past week. So it's like, which we knew about a couple weeks ago, but it took a while, for a couple weeks for it to happen. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, I'm more NXT. There are a lot of people are promising, like Triple H is promising it's not going to change.
It shouldn't. For this to really hit the ground running and really, I know they say they're not challenging AEW, but they are. And with that, to get it on its feet, they need to blend as much pure wrestling as possible and really wow some of these Monday Night Raw and now Friday Night SmackDown fans. I don't want to say WWE because if you're a WWE fans, you would watch NXT, and that is the best
part.
You
would hope so. I mean, a lot of them, like I said, a lot of them still just, unless it's on Monday night or Tuesday night, they're not watching anything. You know, it's like... Except for pay-per-views on the USA Network. So, I mean, on the WWE Network. So... Got a minute left. Usos have been off TV for a while since one of the Usos Jimmy's DWI arrest in July. Expect to see them back. They couldn't wrestle in Canada. That's why they weren't part of that weekend, because you can't go across the border.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, so expect to see them back soon. NWA's got some TV time. They're making a TV show. It's starting. They're having their TV taping September 30th and October 1st in Atlanta, Georgia. You definitely want to check that out. Tony Schiavone, we already mentioned, is coming to AEW. I talked briefly with Josh Wetzel from the Red Wings this past week about it and said that he's super excited and he's going to make some good money. But we got to get out of here. Furby, thank you so much for the time. Thank you so much for everybody listening. And we'll see you next week here on Fox Sports 1280.